Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Tuesday, and that's April 23rd. And really, one thing sort of struck me today. I've heard everybody talking about all the different aspects of the trial, and I think I'd boil it down this way. Trump says, first of all, I didn't do it. Whatever it is, I didn't do it. The second thing is, if I did it, it's legal. So that wouldn't be a problem. And if by chance I did it and it's not legal, it's really Michael Cohen's fault. So I'd say the trial is over. He's got this thing totally under control. Except one thing. And that is, there's yet to be a decision, although it could come out any moment. And if it came out 1 second ago, then I wouldn't know. But the judge is going to decide what to do about Trump's 10 violations, at least, of the gag order. So at least 10 times, Trump talked about people that he shouldn't, like maybe the judge's family. He could have done that. No one can say for sure because Trump says so many things, he doesn't even know where he's saying them. But that's a possibility. Or he could have attacked the witnesses, which we've actually heard that. Or he could be attempting to intimidate the jurors, which, again, everybody heard that. All in all, it's probably 10. 10 is the likely number of gag order violations. So there was a hearing. And at the hearing, of course, both sides had a chance to speak up. But here is what Jack Smith asked for. He wanted $1,000 per violation. Now, that's one of the two things that you can ask for in terms of dealing with somebody who violates a gag order. Because there are only two in New York law. That's it, just two. And one is the amount of money for the violation, $1,000. That's the number. There's a second thing. But Jack Smith didn't say, I want specifically this to be done. He very cleverly said, Judge, if there's anything else you can think of, that would be fine. Well, there is only one other thing the judge could think of because there's only one other thing under the law. It's $1,000 per violation, and you can go to jail for up to 30 days. That's it. It's one of those two. Or it's nothing. But those are the only two things that can be done. So the judge is going to decide what he's going to do. Probably $1,000 per violation. But if there were 100 violations, I don't think Donald Trump would be worried about $100,000. Don't get me wrong. I always say that Donald's broke. But he's never worried about money up until now, so I don't think he'd worry about this. And the other thing is, he'd get somebody else to pay for it. I mean, if he had to grab somebody walking down the street and strip the wallet out of their jacket, he'd get the money. So I don't think the money is an issue. And at most, it'd be about 10 grand. Now, the judge then has to decide what to do about any other potential punishment. And since the law only allows one, I mean, it could be one day in jail. It could be 30 days in jail. That's it. You can only have 30. Or he could do what he's done up until now. He can say, Donald, if you do this one more time, you're going to jail. Now, the problem with that is that the judge has said that already. He's already told Donald, you do this, that, or another thing, I'll put you in jail. If you don't show up in this studio, in this courtroom, sorry, I'm in the studio. I must be Joe Biden. No, if you don't show up in this courtroom, then you are going to jail. That's what the judge told him. I don't know if officially the judge has said you're going to jail if you violate the gag order, but that is one of the two things that you can get for violating this gag order. $1,000 per violation or up to 30 days in jail. And that's it. Or don't do it again and we're going to get you. But how many times do we have to say this? How many times do we have to go over and over and over and say, if you do it, you're going to jail? I guess if he does this, if he says it, then I guess the answer is one more time. But the other side of it is that Donald will violate the gag order. In fact, before the hearing, get this, before the hearing this morning, Donald went on to a crazy attack against the judge. So you know that the judge is going to decide an important issue today. And so here's what you do. You walk into the courtroom, and on the way in, you start attacking the judge. To what purpose? The only purpose I can imagine is that Donald would like to go to jail. And one of the reasons that he might want to go to jail, and this wouldn't even be irrational, although we know that Donald is irrational, but here would be the reasoning. If Donald can get thrown into jail, it might improve the potential for an appeal down the road. That would be a logical thought, because you go to the appeals court and you say, I mean, I'm just the former president of the United States. That's all I am, just a poor ex-president. And this mean old judge threw me in jail. So vacate everything. I mean, that's a Donald Trump playbook for sure. We're going to know sometime either between now and 5 o'clock or maybe later this evening or maybe first thing tomorrow morning. But we're going to get a decision from the judge. And personally, I hope he throws Donald in jail for 30 days. My guess is he might do it for one day. I think that would be a smart move. Throw him in jail for a day and then tell him, look, we did one day. We can do more. We can go up to 30. And then Donald will keep violating the gag order until the judge finally gives him the 30 days. You know, 30 days and 5 days and 10 days and whatever. By the time you're through, the trial is over. Donald has been convicted and he's got 4 years in jail. which is probably what they're going to give him. A lot of people say, well, probation. Let me tell you. If Judge Mershon were to give Donald Trump probation at this point, I got to tell you, it would not be good. It wouldn't be a good look for the country, and you'd have people flipped out. Now, maybe Mershon would say, I don't care. I'm just going to do what I think is right. And, you know, this is not that big of a violation anyway. So we'll give the guy probation. And when I say not that big of a violation, I mean, it's a violation. Don't get me wrong. This is campaign trouble. I mean, all you got to do is listen to what Pecker told the court, and it's not good. He went through the entire litany of attempts to deflect information off of Donald, either into a drawer somewhere or just any way to prevent anybody from knowing that Donald had done a whole lot of bad things. And somebody even talked about that there was some suggestion that Donald was this amazing bachelor. What's that about? Trump's been married all along. So that's a crazy story. But it doesn't really matter because, look, I have said over and over and over and over that Donald Trump is just a 100% liar. And this is not something new for me. I've said that Trump lies about everything. I remember maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, he put some tariffs on the Chinese. And he was talking about this deal that he cooked up with them and how everything was going to be great. And I was saying then that I guarantee you there's a lie. I don't know what it is. Who could figure it out? But there's some part of it that was a lie, and it was. He lied. I mean, how do you even keep up with all his lies? Which is his theory. That if he lies every time he opens his mouth, then no one will know which lie to even discuss or which lie to try to sue him for, although E. Jean Carroll figured that out and got $90 million for her effort. So, you know, it can be done. But all in all, I think it's fair to say that Trump will lie if he says something to you. Whatever it is, he's going to pay the bill for the piano tuner at Trump Tower. It's a lie. You know, that's the story where he didn't pay. But he doesn't pay anybody, and he always lies. And he always says, I will, and then he lies. I wonder why these lawyers represent him. And the only answer I can come to is that he must be paying them enormous amounts of money. And I've heard that they're getting a lot of money, millions. But I don't know, is that worth it? I wouldn't want to be hooked up with this guy in any way. I agree, everybody in the United States deserves representation. In fact, deserves good representation. I mean everybody, every last person. And Donald, I guess, is a person. So he probably deserves representation. And maybe that's the attitude of some of these lawyers who, for example, I mean, this guy today, that they all keep saying that this lawyer who is, you know, in the forefront right now, that he is a good one as compared to some of these other people that Donald's had who all end up with their bar licenses pulled. And I guess that's another problem. You know, if you're a lawyer for Donald Trump, so far the track record is they end up pulling your bar license. It's not a good thing. But look, if you decide somebody needs to represent this guy, because everybody has a right to a representation, and since somebody is going to do it, and since I can get all this money up front because all the people who are eating dog food will send in $1, which they can't afford, but it's okay because their can of dog food isn't empty yet. And so they send in a dollar to Trump, and it adds up to enough so that, you know, his lawyers can get paid. Isn't that cute? That's another thing. Would you want to take that kind of money? Well, I guess you do if you need it. I don't know. Anyway, he's got some lawyers, and they stood up in front of the court today and got in a fight with the judge. And the judge said, your credibility with this court is rapidly declining. That's not a good thing to have the judge tell you that. And I know that Donald gets away with it. And maybe these lawyers think that if Donald gets away with it, and if I'm a lawyer for Donald, then maybe I could get away with it. They better take a look at all these other lawyers who are losing their bar licenses. It's not a good look. Okay, so let's get off the lawyers and the hearing today, because we're going to get an answer. It's coming. I mean, look, we're 17 minutes into the show. It may already be out there. I don't know. I haven't seen anything. And it is coming. It's a decision on what to do about Donald Trump's gag order violations. But I want to go on to a couple other people who are, you know, Trump friends, if there is such a thing. And let's talk about what they've done. So first, there's this guy, Don Hankey. Don Hankey has got the Knight Specialty Insurance Company. Oh, I'm sure there's a real specialty there, and I'm afraid we don't even know what it is, but I'm afraid to find out what it is. But in any event, Hankey's got this insurance company, and Letitia James did take him to court and said, this insurance agency doesn't even have enough money to cover the bond. But if you take all their assets and liabilities, they couldn't cover this bond. And Donald doesn't have the money for the bond. So Letitia James said she wanted the court to allow her to invalidate the bond and just begin seizing properties. And the court didn't do that. They did not. They are trying to work with Trump and to give him a chance to survive this until anybody finds out whether he actually has to pay anything or not, I guess. They are definitely trying to give him a break. They're trying to give him a chance to make it through this without losing his properties immediately. Obviously, if he loses his properties, he can't get them back. So they're being cautious. But here was the argument that came from Letitia James, and it's a good argument. It's an important argument. Hankey has said that he knew about the $450 million bond, and he was prepared to put up a $450 million bond for Trump. Now, if he can't put up a $175 million bond, then what the heck? Put up a $450 million bond or make it double. Make it $1 billion. What the heck? Because if you're not going to pay, you're not going to pay. He's not licensed to even do business in New York. I guess somebody knows that. Anyway, look, the court may yet come back on this. This, I'm sure, is not over. There's going to have to be some guarantee of that money. Has to be. Now, they may give him a little more room, but there has to be some way to be sure that New York gets paid and that E. Jean Carroll gets paid. Now, I understand hers is up, but look, I don't trust anything with those people. Who could believe anything? Just like I said from the beginning, that's why I say this. I didn't trust this Knight Specialty Insurance Company on the first day they brought up the name. And I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't have any reporting or research or anything. But Donald always lies. It's never what things look like when he puts them out there. It never is. So, okay, there's something wrong with Don Hankey's effort to guarantee this bond. And I suppose that New York is figuring, the appeals court, another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it takes, to be sure that there is some protection for the state. What the heck? Probably not going to matter because you can always get his properties, at least for the moment. Who knows what Donald's doing outside of our vision? No way to know. But at any rate, Hankey has got a potential problem, but at the moment, it's not. And if the appeals court were to say today, everything is perfect, we're satisfied, nothing to worry about, Don Hankey's fine, I still wouldn't believe it. And I don't think Letitia James is going to believe it either. She's going to be watching every inch of the way because she's not stupid. There's a bond, but nobody really knows if there's a bond. Nobody really knows if there's $175 million worth of protection. But we do know this. The appeal has to be in by July. Now, remember, I talked about this before. The original theory was maybe November or December would be the appropriate date for the appeal to come in. But the appeals court made a deal, and they said, we'll accept the $175 million bond, but you have to get that appeal in July. So there was a little advantage that came out of that. If assuming that that bond is worth anything, and it may not be, Don Hankey is not through with us, I can assure you. And we're not going to be through with him, I guarantee it. We'll find out. So meanwhile, it's 24 minutes in, and I still don't know if there's any decision on these violations, you know, the violations of the gag order, and you know, I bring that up. I'm looking here at a number of different places. I don't see anybody mentioning it, so I'm going to assume that there's still nothing in, but there will be something coming soon. So be prepared for that. I'll tell you what I really like, and this is a short one, and then we'll sell some things. But let me tell you, there's an advertisement out here that is so good, and I think I mentioned it yesterday, but I want to mention it again. It's really excellent. It's the kind of thing that should be run over and over, and I've heard that it is running over and over. And this is from a group of Republicans who say they would never, ever support Trump. And essentially, here's what they're saying in the ad. And they do it in a clever way, and I'm not going to describe it because I'm not that clever. But it's clever, so go watch it and you'll see. But they say this, that Donald, if he went into a fast food store and wanted to get a job, he couldn't get it. Because if he went in, they would ask him about his record. Do you have any violations of any kind? Have you been in trouble with the law? Oh, I'm sorry. You've got 88 felony indictments? Oh, you can't work for here. We can't hire you at the fast food store. No. So then you go down the mall, you go a little further, and you go to, let's say, the T-shirt shop. You ask them, could you hire me? I'm Donald Trump. How's your record? Well, I've got, 88 felony indictments hanging out here against me. But, I haven't been convicted of anything yet. And, I'm a good guy. And they would say at the T-shirt shop, no, you cannot come here because you've got 88 felony indictments against you. And all the way through the mall, it would be the same thing. And so then they end up by saying, this guy can't get a job in the mall, and you would hire him to be the president of the United States? What, are you crazy? And I think that's a great ad. And I've told it to a lot of people. And everybody I tell it to, even Trump people, agree it's not a good look. You can't get a job at McDonald's, but you'd like to be president of the United States. Very cute. Anyway, I hope you check I hope you check out that ad. It's a good one. It's another powerful ad. I mean, there have been a couple of powerful Donald Trump ads, and you're competing against the famous Lyndon Johnson ad when blows up a hydrogen bomb and warns people that that's what you get from Barry Goldwater, an ad which only ran once in history, one time, but it was played over and over and over on all the different TV shows that talked about the ad. So everybody knows about the ad and knew about it at the time, but it got pulled because it was so extreme. And actually, if we look back 60 years, probably was not fair because Barry Goldwater was not so horrible. He had problems. He wasn't that horrible. And one of the things that we thought he was going to do was put the United States into a land war in Southeast Asia. Now, who would do something that crazy? Oh, I'm sorry. Lyndon Johnson did it after he promised that he would never do it. Okay. And yet people love Lyndon Johnson because of Medicare and because of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. All these things he did because they were there and he knew that he could use them to make himself a hero. Johnson loved being a hero and he became one. And he could have stayed one if he hadn't killed 58,000 Americans in the Vietnam War. But he did. And yet today, a lot of people out here will say, hey, I love Lyndon Johnson. Great man. Great guy. Okay, he messed up on the war. Well, I hate to tell you, okay, but he messed up on the war. Well, that's not as little as it sounds. Somehow it seems like somebody has forgotten what that was about. That was not Ukraine. And believe me, people say it is. People try to make a comparison. Somehow they conflate this idea of Vietnam with Ukraine, and it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit at all. So Anyway, that's all right. One thing that you can't go wrong about, and that's for sure. All the rest, I can't guarantee anything. But when it comes to dinner at Wendy's, that I assure you, you cannot go wrong. You've got chicken wings. You've got meats that are smoked, which I know, you know, a lot of people like smoked meats, and they're great at Wendy's. But to me, it's the baby back ribs. That's, I mean, I'm always going to vote for that. And so that's where my vote is. But I can tell you there are other things, too. There's pizza, patty melts, cheeseburgers, hamburgers. And then there are, of course, the onion rings, which I happen to love onion rings. I love Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And, of course, Ben is there. You go visit with him. If you don't have any friends, you could, for the price of a dinner, you could get yourself a friend. That's nice. A little friendship. And on top of that, you could then leave Wendy's and drive out, not today, but soon, to Defiance, Missouri. And then you could get some more friends and a little more food, too, because that's a new Wendy's that's coming in Defiance. Just keep it in mind. Great place to eat. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. That's Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, and I mean to tell you, it's not just a little jewelry. This is not a store where you just walk in and you got a little place with some jewelry in it and you take a quick look and you leave. At 4506 Hampton, Jewels on Hampton is loaded with jewelry. Really nice pieces. Some that they've bought from other people, some that they create themselves, create their own creative designs. Some they may have traded with somebody for jewelry, bought it for something, all kinds of ways. They get jewelry and then they sell it. They do great and everybody loves the place. And that's Jewels on Hampton. They buy and sell coins and jewelry. And you just walk in and go look for Al or his son AJ. And again, for the price of a locket, you know, you could have a friend. But really, in all seriousness, all these businesses that have owners on site are always better. They're always great places. So go try them out at Jewels on Hampton and go see Al, and I'm sure you'll enjoy checking out the jewelry, and maybe you'll even want to hand him your watch and he'll fix it, because they fix watches there too. They're good. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And finally tonight, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. The St. Louis Suit Company has so many famous people who over the years have bought suits from that business. And I really am pursuing some of these people for the air because they're also, I mean, interesting people outside of the suits that they buy. And I would just like to talk to them about what they do and then also sort of rib them a little bit about the suit company, since that's my place. I love it. I really, you know, look at me. I wear suits. I mean, sometimes I'm just trying to stay out of trouble, and I think if I wear a suit, that maybe somebody will be less likely to come after me. But in any event, you aren't getting any trouble. You can just go buy a suit. And if, well, you might be getting in trouble if you're getting married, for example. That could be trouble. But if it is, they'll take care of your suits for you and for everybody else in your wedding. And they're just good. They really are. Jay and Nick, at the St. Louis Suit Company, they know what they're doing. They'll sell you suits and ties for $5, which these are beautiful ties. Silk ties. Really nice. $5 for a silk tie. Great suits. Nice shirts. Everything. Only one thing is missing. The Chucks. Sorry. You want Chucks? You got to go somewhere else to get the Chucks. But everything else, St. Louis Suit Company, corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. You will love them like I do. Okay, last night, I promised that I was going to talk about this. And I'm going to talk about it today. And I think it's very important. And it's about Jews. And we all know that Columbia University was shut down because somebody went berserk there. I'm not sure altogether who it is. I know there are different theories as to which groups might have done it, who came in and added to the problems. Was it the mainstream protesters against Israel? A lot of different theories. But one thing has been concluded by many who are Jewish, and I am, I'm Jewish. And the theory is that anti-Semitism is on the rise, that it is surging, and that we really need to do something about it because the United States, as everybody says, is better than that. Or the other thing they say is, that's not us. Well, I want to say this. I am a strong believer that the only way things will ever be right in the Middle East is if the Palestinians have their own state. It is the only possible solution. There just isn't any other. You've got millions of people there. They have been displaced. Now, we Jews, we know why that those Palestinians were displaced. It was because Europe was murdering Jews. And so this is where the rest of the world put us. They gave us this place and they said, well, you know, it's the homeland and so forth. And so go on back and you'll be safe. And they gave Jews an enormous amount of weaponry and eventually helped Jews to get the atomic bomb. Israel has about 100 nuclear weapons. I mean, depending on where you get the information, it might take 10, you know, I guess the 50 megaton variety, but 10 nuclear weapons, 10 big ones to blow up the whole planet. Israel's got 100. China's got 300. There are 9 countries in the world that have nuclear weapons, and Israel's one of them. Very powerful, very important. It guarantees that certain countries won't mess with you. Now, obviously, that doesn't include people who don't have a country. So in the case of Hamas, which does not have a country, they're willing to take the chance because, I don't know, they think they're going somewhere that's better than what's here. Maybe they know something. But in any case, they think they're going somewhere, so they're willing to do things that most countries would not do. I mean, look at Iran. Iran had every reason to come after Israel because Israel went after them first. But then again, they went after Israel first. So, you know, which time is the first? But in any event, Israel went after Iran, and Iran responded with 300 incoming missiles and drones, which were all shot down. I know people say, well, anybody could have shot those down. They weren't even going fast. That's not true. I've heard the explanation. It was a big deal that those things were shot down. And in the meantime, Iran is facing a potential attack from Israel, which did go light. They went light on it, which is the first time they have gone light on anybody, because they absolutely are annihilating Gaza. I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen it. Those places are leveled. They are wiped out. Now, here's the thing. If you're a protester against what Israel's doing, you could look at the complete destruction, the destruction of buildings which no person in the building could possibly survive. And I suppose that's why over 30,000 Gazans are already dead. I mean, that's big numbers. And that's why there are all of these protests. However, as some people have said, and I think it's a good analogy, if Mexico came to the United States, beheaded children and raped women, and walked out with 250 hostages, well, the next day there wouldn't be a Mexico. Would other countries react similarly? Probably. Sure. So then why can't Israel do it? And here's the answer. Because these people in Palestine are sitting there with nothing. Now, don't get me wrong. They've got nothing partly out of choice, because they've been offered many things. And every time they're offered, they turn it down. And the rest of the Arab world doesn't seem too anxious, has not been anxious over decades to do anything for the Palestinians. So there's something going on with that, but put some of that aside for the moment. The fact is that those are hurting people in Palestine. And without their own state, the radicalism is going to be revived every so many years. It has been, and it will continue to be. We solved the problem with Egypt. We gave them $1 billion a year. And Egypt said, okay, we're through. So they took their billion and walked away. And they've stayed away. So Egypt doesn't do it anymore, because they've got their billion a year. They're happy. We would undoubtedly give Gaza $1 billion a year. I'm sure we would, to stop this. But they're not taking that, so that's the end of that story. Look, there's going to have to be a Palestinian state. And it's going to be right next to Israel. And that territory is going to have to be protected. And Israel is going to have to be protected too. Both countries need to be protected. Both people have to leave each other alone. Now, Israel will leave the others alone, but they won't leave Israel alone. And every time they come after Israel, Israel gets angry. And then they start killing. Now, I realize it's been worse in recent years because of Netanyahu. There are people in Israel who are very dovish. They don't want this. They don't even want new settlements. They want a deal so they can all live in peace and so that the Israelis can stop worrying about who's going to cross the border and cut off kids' heads and rape women. And the Israelis have a right to stop that. Have they gone too far? By the rules of war, they've gone too far. They're not supposed to kill innocent people. Did the United States kill innocent people in World War II? Of course we did. Killed 100,000 in Hiroshima just at the blink of a light. And of course, if we hadn't, there might have been a million dead. That's the way we explain it, and that's understandable. For some think not, but most agree that that's okay. So, you know, Israel has not been as horrific in their behavior as some people have said, for sure. But if you don't understand that there are a lot of people out in the world who are angry when they see those buildings destroyed and 30,000 plus people who didn't do anything dead, well, that's a problem. Now, remember this too, that there are people on the Jewish side who say, innocent? Well, not exactly, because there's a belief which is at least half true, at least, that all of those innocent people would love to see dead Jews. So that's a problem. But you're not going to solve it by killing Palestinians. I promise you, you will not. And how do I know? Here's how I know. 1948, 1956, 1967, 1972, 1980, on and on. All of these are major wars in the Middle East. Israel wins every time and solves nothing. Nothing. They win, but they don't solve anything. They get some quiet, and then after a period of quiet, somebody comes back ready to kill. So somebody has to be very smart in order to go about putting into place an existence in the Middle East that protects Palestinians from their own worse beliefs, which is they can go kill Jews, and go protect the Jews, because every time they think that they've got peace and quiet, they really don't. Now, that's the best that I can tell you about the Middle East. There needs to be a two-state solution. There needs to be fairness for both sides. And each side needs to be protected from the other one, even if the Palestinians don't need protection from the Jews under normal circumstances. Of course, they do now. Of course. Just like we said, the United States would wipe out Mexico if Mexico did it to us. Mexico said, I want California back. Believe me, it wouldn't end well. So, you know, there's something to be understood here, but I'm just saying that all things being equal, which nothing is, both sides need to be protected from the other. And then start rebuilding Gaza. Or maybe it's better than rebuilding. Maybe it's just building. I don't know that Gaza had anything going for it, but we could create something for the Palestinians. We could. And we could get the help from the other Arab countries. And anyway, we're a very rich country. We can afford anything. I know they say, oh, no, America's in debt. Joe Biden has destroyed the place. And come on, get out of here. None of that's true. Joe Biden hasn't done anything. He's just an old man. But believe me, the old man has done a tremendous amount to stabilize a world which is very dangerous. He's been a heck of a president. He's really been good. And could we have a better one? I mean, we could have a younger one. Would we feel better about a younger one? Sure. I think Joe Biden would feel better about a younger one. And I think that Joe Biden is there right now because he believes that he can beat Donald Trump. And I think he believes that he must beat Donald Trump. And I believe he must. Because I can tell you right now that if Donald Trump were president of the United States, it would be the end of the United States. Donald Trump, as far as I can tell, mostly from reading the Mueller report, Donald Trump is personally owned by Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump is a loser. Everything he has ever touched has died. And the only reason he's standing right now is Vladimir Putin. I'm sure of it. I've read enough. That's where this is. So if you don't want to be owned by Vladimir Putin, you better hope that Trump never becomes president of the United States. And I'm sure he won't. The polls are going against him every day. I've been saying this. For 2 weeks, I've been talking about how these polls, which look bad for a minute, have turned all the way the other direction and mainly led by women. 60-35 last time I saw a poll. For all we know, it's 65-30 now. It's not good. Trump's going down. He's going to jail. You know where he is, right? He's in a courtroom. You know how the evidence is coming down right now against him. Remember what I said at the beginning of the show? As far as Donald Trump is concerned, first, he didn't do it. Second, if he did it, it's not his fault. And it's certainly not illegal. And if it is his fault, and if it is illegal, well, then it's not his fault anyway, because then it's Michael Cohen's fault. That's the theory of his case. Those 12 jurors are going to figure this out very simply. So, trust me, Trump is gone. You don't want him to turn the United States over to Vladimir Putin, and he would. And look, I don't know why they have this relationship, and I would like to know. Some things I don't want to know. This one I do, and I think we will. I'm sure we will. We're going to find out. There's a deal. We just don't know what it is, but we'll find out. But see, you thought that I was diverging off to something else and leaving that rest of that Jewish story alone, and I'm not. I'm not. You know, that's another thing. Trump running around for all these years saying how he loves the Jews. Give me a break. You know, Jews don't believe that. They know better. Jews aren't stupid. They know that Donald Trump tries to use them, and that's why, under the best of circumstances, Trump gets 20% of the Jewish vote, under the best. And if you look at the polls recently, the Jewish vote, by huge numbers, is pouring into the other direction. away from Trump. So listen to this. If you think there's anti-Semitism in the world, here's my question for you. Where have you been? You didn't know that? Oh, there is. In a way, it's got some similarities to the anti-black view. Because, you know, people have been afraid for a long time, since the 60s, 70s, and so forth. They've been afraid to say how they hate black people. But you know they do. You know what white people think about black people. You don't, you're pretending you don't know? Give me a break. You know. Every white person's heard it. And besides that, look at the advertisements that have won in elections. Willie Horton. That was a fabulous ad that worked great for anti-black people. And then now you're sitting here with people that are willing to say, they're so emboldened that they will say that they want black history and black literature to go away. And then again, that DEI business. Yeah, let's get rid of that too. Diversity, equity. Are you kidding me? Inclusion? What is there about those words that's so bad? One thing, B-L-A-C-K. Now, same thing for Jews. They don't like Jews. Who is they? Well, I hate to tell you. White Christians. Gee, what a shock. It's so funny. I was talking to some black people today, and I said this exact thing to them, and they looked at me like, well, who doesn't know that? So this is not a matter of Jewish people walking around saying, do anything to us, we don't care. No, we just know what the score is. White Christians, and let's add on to that, supremacists. See, but, you know, then it gets into a little bit of a thing about who is and who isn't. I'm just telling you, Jews have known this forever. This is Passover. You think we don't know? We know. We don't sit here and talk about it every day like Donald Trump, but we know. So let's all calm down here. There are some people who are saying some bad things about Jews at universities and so forth, but none of it is anything compared to what white Christianity has done in Germany. You ever hear of 6 million Jews? Who do you think killed them? Those people that did the killing weren't black. Trust me. Okay. So I just wanted to get all that out because there's just too much worry about anti-Semitism. It isn't on the rise. It's been here every day. There are a few people who are willing to talk about it a little more right now, emboldened to that, the same way they're emboldened to block the books that are produced by Toni Morrison or ban books about Hank Aaron and Roberto Clemente. It's all the same lunacy. So like I say, calm down. Calm down. Go to St. Louis Suit Company. Go to Jules on Hampton. Go to Wendy's and have a good meal. And this is Showdown. And I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.